In the studio with me, Reen Achterberg. Reen is a former member of the Rainbow Warrior crew. Not the Rainbow Warrior that's just been in, but the Rainbow Warrior from quite a long time ago. Can you hear me?
I can't hear you.
Now you can hear me?
Now I can hear you.
That's excellent. So Reen Achterberg, who's a stalwart of the Greenpeace movement, environmental movement on Waiheke and all sorts of other things. Reen's been off the island for nearly 5 years.
5 years plus.
That's incredible. Just speaking to your microphone.
Yeah, and just got back finally. Yeah,
5 years. That's incredible. Where have you been?
I've been basically based in Europe, in Germany, but done a fair bit amount volunteer work for Greenpeace in, well, Germany, but also quite a bit in Poland and Eastern Europe, because they need more support there.
When you left nearly 5 years ago, did you know you were coming back?
I always want to come back. I want to die here. Like, I migrated from Holland in the early 70s to New Zealand for a reason. That reason still stands.
Yeah, that reason still
Europe
stands.
Europe is nice, but they got their problems.
Yeah.
And it's overpopulated and all kind of...
So why did you go then?
Rainbow Warriors of Waiheke Island documentary gave me a key back into Greenpeace. I used to sail a lot on the ships, Greenpeace, since the mid-70s. But then I quit because of a bad back, and the woman on board started calling me Opa and shit like that. So,
Opa is Dutch for grandfather, just in case.
That gave me a key to get, you know, I got invited to Europe and went for 3 months and stayed for 9 months and then did it again for 3 months and stayed again for 9 months. And then I ran into a woman, I like women and whatever, I was single. a German woman, and I got involved and stayed there for 5 years, and Greenpeace in Germany sort of supported me doing full training, working with volunteers 3-4 days here and there everywhere, and also around Europe and in Russia and Hungary, Poland, Czech Republic.
Actions,
I got arrested a few times, but also trainings, action training. I'm an NDVA training, non-violent direct action trainer. But also going to schools, talk to kids, go to universities, talk to students. My role was basically be, you know, the advertising board, not only for Greenpeace, but also for the environment movement and to inspire and motivate people.
Yeah.
Young and old. Go on the street, collect petitions. I do everything.
Where's the environmental movement globally at right now, in your view, Reen? Just before we came on air, I was sort of bemoaning the fact that, you know, the first environmental issues around climate change were discussed as early as the 60s, 70s.
Yep.
And yet here we are in 2020 just about, and it seems as if it still has to get into the, if you like, the power centres of the universe. So where do you think we're at?
I think... you know, a lot of people still keep their heads in the sand. They don't want to know because it's too, what can we do? But on the other hand, a lot of the younger generation, particularly I find out in Europe, of course, more are waking up. People are waking up because, like...
But the alarm went off a long time ago.
Alarms went off.
They're finally getting
up. But now it's actually hitting people.
Yeah.
You know, the farmers in particularly in Germany, Holland, Poland, England, whatever... They had an amazing, beautiful summer. Yeah, it was 35 degrees. And then they had floods because the tornadoes came through, which they never had before, and they never had 35 degrees. So it's beautiful, but then scary. And then the crops failures and landslips and rivers flooding. And then 35 degrees again for 3 months. You know, we had the longest summer ever, records breakers, and temperatures record breakers, and storms record breakers. So people are suddenly, fuck, these things are changing.
Yeah.
It's hitting, start to hit people in Europe now and a lot of other places in the world.
So in the end, as we know, humans are most motivated when their own lives are affected.
The kids are waking up for it. And they said, more kids are now, and more universities are giving environmental studies or environmental science or engineering in that direction. I'm coming back here to Waiheke. Why are there no solar panels on all the roofs? They should be on all the roofs in New Zealand. Any new building should, by law, have...
solar panels and water tanks.
Yeah, it's like we all want double glazing and whatever
in the
houses and comfortable, you know, insulated houses. Sure, that's all happening now slowly but surely, thank you to, you know, whatever. But why no solar panels or little wind vanes or, you know, that has to happen.
And we have to make that shift. I think solar panels
we have to get out of oil.
Right. So you're a supporter of Jacinda's banning of future oil exploration. It's not going to actually cut in for 20 years or so when the current permits...
Yeah, it should actually stop now. So good in your Jacinda. It's better than what National did because they didn't do anything, nothing. So it's a good step in the right direction. You know, it's people took notice also overseas.
Did they?
But yeah,
so was there much news about Jacinda?
She's popular. Everybody wants Jacinda as prime minister. You know, not only the Aussies. Don't worry about that.
Well, we can copy and paste her, but they're not having the original.
Yeah, maybe we can clone her. Anyway, but it's a step in the right direction. But it's actually at this time where we are. According to the latest science, if you really read the science and what's happening, what majority of scientists are saying, even the UN, and they are moderate.
Yeah.
Yeah, the climate report.
So can I ask you about that? Because that
we got only fucking 15 years. Sorry.
No, that's okay. This is why I hear radio.
We got only 15 years, really, to really stop it before it goes over 2 degrees. And like 2 degrees is already not much fun for our kids.
No, that's right. So 2 degrees as the average global climate temperature rise. Right. It doesn't sound a lot, but we're learning that 2 degrees is in the context of understanding the planet. 2 degrees is huge, right?
Yeah.
And 3.5, which I think is what they were trying to keep it to a while back. There were 3.350 conferences, and they were sort of trying to keep. But we now know that would be disastrous.
1.5.
Yeah,
1.5.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
3.5, we're gone.
Okay. So that's a really interesting thing to talk about, though, isn't it? That 2 degrees difference between 1 and 3
is huge.
To somebody, it's just a hot day. But in a different context, it's disaster.
It's disaster. It's like the Arctic is melting, the Antarctic is huge chunk falling off.
Yeah.
That's sea level rise. Mm. Yeah. We have
Do you think coastal properties in New Zealand?
Events in New Zealand. Oh yeah, they better have to move to higher ground.
Yeah. That's real, isn't it?
Make them like they do in Holland, you know, they float. But if you have a storm surge or, you know, like extreme weather events, hey, hang on to your hat, mate.
Yeah.
You better go and hide.
So
it's also for the farmers and
one of the most distressing things for me recently was to see a video come out of Vanuatu, where I've spent a lot of my time as a kid, and I have a particular affection for it. And I was watching some videos out of Vanuatu, and while we're filling our four-wheel drives with petrol, they're talking to their villagers about how their crops don't grow properly anymore and how it might be the fault of the rest of the world, but they have to take a lead.
Yeah.
So how can we sit here in our warm houses with the heaters on, with the fossil fuels burning up the chimney, and you know, while the countries that are going to be first affected by climate change are trying to lead us? It's kind of screwy.
It is kind of screwy. Like that's the frightening thing. Like I'm just coming back from Europe, so refugees.
Yeah.
Hey, what are they going to do? You know. Okay. So a lot of people like me say refugees welcome, but then again, how much can they take in? And is there a setup to accommodate those people and to integrate them? And a lot of people say no.
Yeah.
So we have to build walls or shoot them, drown them. They are already drowning lots. That's not very nice. Like imagine yourself living in a war zone and you want to get out, or climate change, you have no more water.
I think what a lot of people don't understand about climate change is that when you talk about climate refugees, they think of people displaced by tidal waves. But it's not, is it? Yeah. It's going to be the people displaced by the changing agricultural patterns of the planet. So
that Canterbury Plains is, you know, the water levels at the Canterbury Plains are going down. Well, that's happening in a lot of places, and the glaciers are melting, and they won't be there anymore in 10 years' time. Yeah. So the rivers will be gone. There will be no more water for irrigation or anything. Where do people go? They have to grow their crops. They're farmers. They're whatever, subsistence people, third world people.
Yeah.
They're dying en masse already. So they want to go somewhere. What does that create? They go to their neighbors. Yeah, the neighbors also have similar problems, and that's going to be war or something shit.
Yeah.
Europe says no. America's building walls or whatever. We got Trump put us back a couple of centuries just about. So we have to change something. We have to change the system, the way we are dealing with each other. We have to cooperate better. We have to be smarter. We have to be more intelligent, but also be more humane.
Yeah.
More kind, Jacinda would say. And learning to share and to learn with live. To live is less, you know. We have to go towards a zero waste lifestyle. We have to get no more fucking plastic, you know. Like, you know, just hassle the supermarkets.
There's a story on Gulf News this week.
But also hassle the government. Stricter regulations on it. It may be not so easy and so nice because we are so comfortable, but fuck that. We're too comfortable.
We're too
comfortable. Need three planets. We don't have three planets. There is no planet B.
No. Well, not yet.
Full stop.
Well, not yet.
Not yet.
They're
and
trying.
Then it will be only for the rich people.
Yeah.
For the people who can afford to go there.
How much is the environmental issues that we face connected with the wealth disparities that we've created? Is there a connection?
Sure is. It's like I just read yesterday, you know, in COS or whatever, ECO or whatever. The wealthiest in the world, they made another 20% more over the last year.
The 1% are getting richer.
The 1%ers.
Yeah.
They got an extra 20% paid profit.
We sort of know about the...
How much money do you need? Well, you know, there are some...
It isn't money they need, it's power.
It's power, yeah, whatever. How much power do you need?
I don't know.
You know, and how do you... Where do
enough
you invest,
to run the radio
where
station.
Do you invest your money? Like, invest it wisely, you know? That's what want to tell the guy, like I go to a high donor event, I get invited to shake what I call wallets, you know, Switzerland or Germany, wherever, and just invest it wisely, you know. Mm-hmm. We need more better batteries, more environmental sound agriculture, or stop destroying forests, or, you know, transport. Can't we fly solar planes? Or
oh, they're coming apparently, but
they're coming.
It just seems
but
a little
a
bit
a lot of things we need actually now.
Yeah.
Not in 2025 we're phasing out oil. Yeah. No, we need to phase out oil now. We need to stop digging coal now.
Yeah.
You know, all those things.
Yeah. It seems that there's a growing urgency around these things, even at administrative and political levels.
Yeah.
Do you think there is still a case for community action to speed those power brokers up?
I think it really is now important that community. I think that's the only way what's happening.
Yeah.
Because politics, especially in democracy, it's not a democracy if the politicians lead. Like, then it's dictator, becomes a dictatorship. So it's people power.
Mm.
You know, think where you vote. Not just because, oh, I want to keep my gold card. Hey, I want a gold card. But, you know, that's not a priority. You know, it's like
it's no good having a gold card if the buses aren't running.
It's like in Germany, because the shit started to hit the fan in Germany and in Poland, similar last weekend, elections in Poland, and the Greens are on the rise because people realize the main parties
have no answers.
Have no fucking answers to the environmental crisis they are facing in the forests or on their agricultural land. And, you know, and that's the conservative people are starting to wake up.
Yeah.
And say something has to change, we don't know how.
So the Green Party in Germany is still a big part of the parliament?
Getting there.
Yeah, right.
They were in parliament coalition. They're not now. But like state elections in Bayern.
Yeah.
Bayern is the... You can't think of a more conservative state in Germany than Bayern. Yeah. They were always very conservative. These last elections, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, the Labour Party, the second biggest party there, is the CDU, the Christian Democrats, like National Party, and the Labour Party. And the FDR. And they're pretty much out of the picture now.
Oh, are they? Yeah, they were the big centre-left party when I lived in Germany in the 80s.
They're out of the picture pretty well. The AFP is there. This is Nazis. But the second biggest party in Bayern now is the Greens.
Yeah. And that's the most conservative.
So the CDU, the Christian, the National Party, has to go into coalition with Die Linke or the Greens or, you know.
Yeah.
The left field,
yeah.
Who are basically all more progressive and know that, you know, the public demands we need change because the
so
shit
is
hitting the fan.
How do you resolve, I find it difficult to resolve the greenness of New Zealand with the 5% the Green Party gets. in places like Europe? Is the pressure on more and therefore people are voting Green more? Or do you see the Green Party getting stronger in New Zealand?
I often describe it a little bit as like, you know, if you look at history a little bit, the beginning of the First or Second World War, and everybody say, oh, you know, we'll be all right and whatever. And we're trying to talk away out of it, or, you know, we will contain it but not really do anything like Chamberlain or whatever those guys did.
Yeah.
And then suddenly the shit hit the fan and it hits home and people come into action. And I think that's a little bit like that's the case what I'm seeing in Europe, in Western Europe, in Holland, Belgium, France, Germany, East Bloc countries, from people are waking up. It's the escalation from left and right, like the radical right.
Yeah, but the right is going further right as well.
Yeah, that's it. But the left also goes further left.
Or bigger left, anyway.
Bigger left. So, and that's escalating, and that will create sort of like a war feeling a little bit.
Yeah. So there's civil discord.
Civil discord. And as long as we remain a majority, hopefully non-violent, we can resolve and can go to bed with them, or, you know, sort talk through instead of actually killing each other.
Yeah.
That's my hope for it. But more people are waking up because the shit is hitting the fan. The war has started, you know. Not only the Cold War is back, you know, strategic, you know.
Weird,
nuclear.
Weird, isn't it?
Got thrown out. You know, we got Trump, we got Putin, we got the seas in China, wherever. And in Poland and in Hungary, you know, Erdogan's.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's a whole lot of... It's not a one little thing. It's complex. But it's people have to think from... Where do you really stand? What do you want? Not just for yourself anymore. It's more for your kids or your grandchildren, because they got to live in the shit.
Yeah.
It's going to get worse before it gets better.
So coming back to Waiheke, a couple of questions about your return to the island.
Yeah.
You wish you'd seen more solar panels on the roofs when you got back, but what changes have you noticed?
More big cars.
More big cars, yeah. That happens every year, doesn't it? That's almost a car fashion issue. They get bigger. They eventually find their way to Waiheke. We get the cars that Auckland first got 3 years ago. So bigger cars, which is disappointing in terms of carbon.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else have you seen? I mean, not just environmental changes.
Not in a way that many changes. Yeah, there's a lot more. Yeah, I've been away for 5 years.
That's why I
hardly recognize. I don't recognize a lot of people anymore. There's you know, a few friends here still.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of new people. There's more money in the house. The houses. Also,
the Rainbow Warriors of Waiheke Island are still here.
Yeah.
And I always thought Waiheke will always be that environmental center as long as you guys don't leave. So it's so good for you to see you
but
back on the
we're also
island.
Getting older. Yeah, and I'll go to Nelson anyway, but, you know, I may be back, but, you know.
Oh, so you're going to move to Nelson?
I think so. I can't afford to live here anymore. I can't buy here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have to wait for my super for another 2 years.
This morning I spoke to another great environmentalist from Waiheke, Janet Hunt, who's not an activist in the Greenpeace mold, but an ecologist and author and conservationist, and she's living in Taranaki. And I said, when are you coming back? And she said, I don't think I can afford it.
Same for me. I'd love to. You know, if you have a piece, if anybody knows a piece of land where I can squat on and put in a container home or a pot or whatever.
Mm. Well, there you go, Waiheke people. If you want the famous Ren Achterberg as a tenant, here's your option. He's very clean.
I'd be open.
Okay, so you came back, you've seen some, obviously, social and perhaps some political changes, both good and bad in New Zealand and on Waiheke. What message would you have for Waiheke folk today? You know, as a returning person, where are our risks, and what do you think we should be doing?
But if your own home, make sure you have solar on your roof. Try to live a zero waste lifestyle. Mm. You know, just refuse plastic as much as you can. Push the supermarkets, whatever. Mm. You know, the local council to ban plastics. No more plastic straws. No, you know, all that stuff. And that's going to happen in 2020, 2025 anyway. No, but you can start now. It doesn't mean wait till then and it will happen then.
Well, in a 15-year window, it's 5 years is a lot. So anybody saying they're going to make a difference in 5 years, if you read the UN report that came out a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we have 15 years to make radical change, or climate change is going to be disastrous. It's going to be difficult anyway, yeah, but it's going to be disastrous for the planet.
Absolutely.
So it's no good saying in 5 years we'll stop using cars and 5 years we'll get rid of... I mean, to be fair, there is a pretty strong anti-plastic feeling on the island. So yeah. I think we've done well in that context.
Yeah, it's a good start.
But there's a story in Gulf News this week about testing the water around the island for microplastics. Now, microplastics, we knew about 20 years ago.
Yeah. So that's the thing, that's what I hope for. But okay, there's now suddenly the awareness about microplastics. So awareness from how we use stuff and how we dispose of stuff and also how we... what we buy. Like I was looking in the supermarket and they don't include the normal plastic bags, whatever, or you have to pay for it.
Still a lot of plastic on the
but
shelves.
But everything else, you know, even your bloody cucumbers are in plastic. Yeah. Like, duh, you know.
Cucumbers are in plastic, yeah.
Everything else. Yeah. So that's what we have to get rid of. Like, I'm coming back from Germany and they're fairly progressive in that respect. There are more shops which sell... in bulk, where you can buy bulk, or you bring your own glass jars or your...
Is that your phone or mine?
Linen bags. Bags or whatever. You bring your own little bags for your bread or your pasta, your noodles. Mm. So, no more plastic. So, and the same for your shampoos. You can buy it in bulk, and so you bring your own glass bottle for it and stuff like that. So that's a changeover, and more kids are starting to do that, and even people also from our age, they're aware now about it, they know about it, and it's becoming more available.
But we have to accelerate that process, don't we?
We have to accelerate it.
Because if people are just becoming conscious, we've got 15 years.
So a big thing is also who you vote for, because we need also leadership from our politicians, and that's the people we vote in. So if we get the good leaders, the green leaders or the Yesindas or, people like that, then things will move a bit quicker because they will bring in the legislation.
They're more likely to respond to community pressure, aren't they?
They still have to, work in a coalition and whatever. So it takes time, and that's politics and compromises. Mm. But at least things are moving. Look at the European Parliament. Things are slowly but surely moving in that direction. Same is happening here. Mm. It's maybe a bit slow, but the more we push, the faster it will go. And also we have to do it locally, communally, by ourselves, at home, and with our community together. Put pressure on the shops. Put pressure on the corporations.
It seems to me there was a wonderful piece in The Guardian maybe 6 months ago by one of their lefty writers, and I it stuck with me. He said, "We've been conned into fighting climate change at an individual level.
Yeah,
we need to fight the corporate power that's created it." Now, I think we're in a position where we're going to do both. So, I understand the sentiment, but actually I do think it's important that you recycle, don't buy plastic straws and all that sort of local individualistic stuff. But that itself's not going to be enough.
No, I'm not,
I mean, I'm not looking for global solutions from your region.
No, there are no quick fix solutions to it. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
We have to look at technology and innovation and all those things. So it's also, steering our kids in a direction where they're, that they are environmental aware and go into whatever is design or engineering or whatever, to a more sustainable planet. What can they contribute in that? Mm. Or a sustainable agriculture? What can we, there's things we have to get away from. Well, what are the alternatives? We have to stop everything, go to the Stone Age. We never wanted that. Mm. But, we may have to take a step back on a few things.
Well, we could really afford to.
Hey, a lot of us are overweight.
But we're almost frightened to tell people they're going to have to reduce their ambitions for their new vehicle, their new stereo, their new whatever. Everything has an impact on the climate. Yeah, everything produced has an impact.
Do you need every 2 years a new Apple iPhone or whatever?
No, I don't.
No. So hang on to it. It's maybe a bit slower. Get it fixed up, whatever. Clean it up. You can even learn online now. You're going to make something. movement is there from, you know, little repair shops, and you can get trained to fix your own bloody iPhone.
I know. I've seen something online about this growing movement.
My girlfriend's doing that in Germany. She's the lead campaigner from Greenpeace Germany, you know, and there's big events all over the country. And in Europe, it's international. So those things we have to encourage.
Yeah. Reen, you've come back after 5 years in Europe. I first met you many years ago when I first started working as a journalist on the island. That was sort of 20-odd years ago. You beforehand, you've always done this since you were a young fella, not on the recent Rainbow Warrior visit, but the original Rainbow Warrior.
Yeah, before that.
And before that. And on the Rainbow Warrior, you went up to Mururoa. You were in that famous crew that woke the world up, in a sense, to some of the issues that was going on.
I was working in the office. I was doing the peace flotilla with the Alliance for Waiaki and stuff like that.
So, I was there. You're now, dare I say it, a venerable, maybe late 50s?
Yeah, I'm going towards my 90s. You know, it goes fast when you get older. It goes faster.
Yeah, it does. It accelerates, doesn't it? So a lot of people, I wouldn't say gave up, but had to get on with their own house, their own mortgage, their own. You've stuck at this your whole life.
I've been a lucky bastard, also privileged. I'm a chef by trade.
Yeah.
So I started working for the first 10 years with the Free and then Rainbow Warrior, Muro and stuff and whatever on the first Rainbow Warrior, and then on and on the ships. Mm. And after 85, they managed to get to pay me a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I could pay off my mortgage because I had bought a house here, run down house, and slowly fixed it up over the years and, you know, state housing loans.
Any regrets?
No.
So if you had your life over again, you would spend it entirely dedicated to the environmental movement?
At this day and age,
Yeah,
because we're a bit in a crisis situation, if we like it or not, and most people don't want to see it. But
It seems to me, and without embarrassing you, that people like yourself have put their whole lives into this. Thank God you've done this, because it is still on the table.
I could have worked in hotels or restaurants with a nice big chef's hat and good money. Instead of less money.
But you've kept the issue alive.
I loved and doing work I love and working on issues which to me are very important, not just for me, but for my friends, for my kids.
So you haven't lost hope and faith in humanity, because if you had, you wouldn't put your life into trying to help.
I would have committed suicide a long time ago.
Yeah. So you still believe in people?
I keep my fingers crossed. Yeah. Because I know a lot of people, young people, who are pissed off and they want to make change.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. We need change.
It's time for change.
Positive change. Sustainable change.
Reen Achterberg, it's been so great to have you in the studio this morning. Thanks so much
for
your time.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for
listeners a bit wrong. I thought you might be coming down with the flu or something, but in fact Reen was under the weather.
I got my period.
a long flight from Europe. Jet lag.
My last ever flight. Are you
hanging out with those reprobate Greenpeace people? I contacted Martini. He said no, he's not staying with
me. I'm staying at Swiss Martin's place at Goodwin F.
Yeah, right.
So be here for another week, 10 days, and then I had to see my kids in Nelson.
Your kids are in Nelson.
Yeah, one of
them.
That's
a good reason
Nelson.
To go down there.
Yeah. They're hanging out.
Yeah. Reen Achterberg, thank you so much for coming in, but thank you too for all your work in the environment movement.
Pleasure.
It's been really great
to
see
you. Never stop. Kia kaha.
Kia kaha.